For our scripture reading, I would like to invite you to look with me in Mark chapter 7. This goes along with what we'll be studying together in our study in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And it has to do with the traditions of men and really answers the question, what is it that defiles a man? So let's read the word of the Lord here, and I'll make some comments as we read. Mark chapter 7. Then came together unto him the Pharisees, the purists in their own eyes at least, and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem. Scribes were the ones who were to transcribe the scriptures. And it's amazing in that they were unbelieving scribes, and yet God by his Spirit so directed their hand that when they made copies of the scriptures, they went back and counted every jot and tittle to where every word was preserved. Such is the sovereignty of God over men. And when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, that is to say, with unwashing hands, they found fault. I know we tell our kids, go wash your hands before you eat, but that's not the sense here. These Pharisees were such separatists that if they ever went out in the marketplace, ever shook hands with somebody that was a Gentile or not one of their kind, that when they got back, they had to go through a ceremony of purifying themselves. Such was their thought that they were pure and the rest of the world was evil. And verse 3, for the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands off, eat not. And here it is, holding the tradition of the elders. So here's the question, what is it defiles a man? There's what the word says that we have in our hand, God declares, and then there's what men say. These, although charged with transcribing the scriptures, as they read them, they began to add all kinds of traditions over here on the side. And when they come from the market, there it is, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be. This is just the tip of the iceberg. Many other things there be, which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and of tables. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands? And he answered and said unto them. Now this is a very important lesson, is how we answer men's objections. It's with the word. The word is what God always uses either to convert a soul or to condemn a soul. It's the word. And our Lord, the word, takes them back to the word. He said, well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And look at here. Howbeit, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You want a great, concise definition of false worship? We've just read it, straight from the Word. To honor men's traditions above the Word of God, to teach for doctrines the commandments of men, and not what God Himself has ordained, is vain worship. Now you stop and think about that. You could destroy the majority of this world's places of worship today and not affect one whit the true worship of God. Now if you want to get some people mad, tell them that. Say that on the radio. But I'll repeat it. You could destroy the majority, vast majority, of all that goes on in the name of worship today and not in one whit affect the true worship of God, because that's not where God's Spirit is in the traditions of men. And here's why. For laying aside the commandment of God. And notice it's singular. It's not even commandments. There's just one commandment of God, and that is, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him alone shalt thou worship. Everything else is summed up in that. How has God declared that he'll be worshipped? It's through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. But ye hold, laying aside, ye hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own tradition. Now he's saying this to the fundamentalist religious leaders of the day. For Moses said, again, where does he take them? Back to the word. Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And ye suffer him no more to do aught for his father and his mother. Using the name of God or some other religious word, Corban's not even a scriptural word, but they came up with it as a way of saying, I'm not helping my father and mother because I've given this to the temple, or I've given this to God. That's dedicated to God. And he says, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered. And many such like things do ye. Such like. So that means what the Lord is giving here is just simply some guidelines of how men defile and denounce the true word of God with their own traditions. And when he had called all the people unto him, verse 14, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. So he'd spoken to the Pharisees, now he calls the people. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. Now this is an amazing thing as the Lord began to open my hearts, because I was raised to believe that anything you put in this mouth defiled you. I don't care whether it's tobacco or whether it's alcohol or any such like things. That's how I was raised. But it says here, there's nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. What it's saying is he's already defiled. You can't put anything in here to defile. It's this heart, everything about us is already defiled before a holy God. And he says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. You see, that's what it takes, is God giving ears to hear. The Spirit giving ears to hear, to consider that in my flesh there dwells no good thing before a holy God. When the Lord brings you there, you're brought low before Christ at his feet. And you cry out as Isaiah did, woe is me, I'm undone. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. You can almost hear him saying, are you sure? Is it just, are you saying what you said? And he saith unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? But it entereth not into his heart, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. You got people today blaming society. They got people blaming their upbringing. They got people blaming Satan. Everything except for what comes out of here. For from within out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. And when I consider that what the Lord has just described here is my own heart, because there again, I was raised to think that once you're converted, all this stops. Well, guess what? It doesn't. We carry about in this body, in this flesh, a putrid, sinful heart ever before the Lord. And unless God in His mercy and grace is pleased to bring us low and to see that there's nothing good in this flesh, and that only the blood and righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ alone is what gives us that righteous stand before God, we're still as blind as these Pharisees. So may the Lord grant us ears to hear even tonight as we consider His word. Let's have a word of prayer. I thank You, dear Father, for Your word. It truly humbles us as we consider what we are before You, guilty, vile, wretched sinners. We know ourselves to be so because Your Spirit has so taught us. But I pray that as we come together this evening, that indeed You would open our eyes once again to the one remedy. Get our eyes off of each other. Get our eyes off of men's traditions and onto Your blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ alone. And teach us, dear Lord, who we are in Him. You've been so pleased to open our hearts by Your Spirit to understand just what a great debt He paid when we read that You spared not Your Son, but delivered Him up, that You might be a just God and Savior. I thank You for Your word, because we know that it's this word that enlivens. It's this word that You're pleased to bless, to convert our otherwise rebellious and evil souls. And Lord, if You have caused us to look to Christ, all the glory belongs unto You. And for that, we do give You the honor and praise, and ask that You continue to cause our eyes to be set upon Him and Him alone, to whom You give all the glory and honor. So we praise Your name through Your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. And it's in His precious holy name that I pray. Amen.